Welcome back to the Darien Heritage Trail Oral Histories. I'm here today with Gordon Hastings at the Mather Homestead. Hi, how are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you. Nice to see young people interested in the history of our region.
100%. So just for a little bit of background, what's your connection to the Mather Homestead?
I have an interest in the history of the Revolutionary period. And the people who run the Mather Homestead became aware of that, asked me to become a docent here. So I took the time to learn about the Mather family, their history, and have been a volunteer docent for my fun and to extend my enjoyment of New England history during the Revolutionary period. Just as simple as that.
That's amazing. So what history can you tell us about the Mather Homestead and how it was viewed like when it was created in the 1700s?
Well, what people need to understand is that when this house was built in 1778, it was built right in the middle of the Revolutionary War. And it was a period of time when this whole part of Darien didn't exist. It was really part of Stamford, Connecticut. But nonetheless, the most important point to make is that this was complete wilderness back here. And the reason that Deacon Joseph Mather built this house here, you know, he was the son of the famous Moses Mather, who was the head of the Congregational Church down here on the main road in Darien. And the interesting thing is that when these New England families grew, they grew out of the family homestead and the family farm. So the older ones, you know, they had to say, okay, you're out on your own. Well, it so happened that Joseph Mather had married a woman whose family owned this land. And that's how they came out to, quote, the frontier. And it was very much the frontier at this time. They would have had to clear the land. They would have had to have built the original four-room typical New England structure, which mm-hmm. you see here. They would have had to have built a barn, cleared the land, as I said earlier, fenced it in, and established a farm for themselves so that they could support, believe it or not, a family of 11 children raised in these four rooms. The room that we're in right now, as has been explained to you before, is the keeping room. And mm-hmm. this was really a shed attached to the original four rooms with this major hearth. And this was the centerpiece of all of the family activity. You understand that what you see here now bears no resemblance to how rustic this would have been in 1778. And you have to imagine, you know, we came in and turned on the heat this morning. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no heat to turn on in 1778. And the family survived in the winter months around the fireplace.
So is there one piece of history every resident of Darien should know about the Mather Homestead that would probably pique their interest?
Well, you know, during the Revolutionary War, or the cause, believe it or not, as it was called back then, it was never called a revolution. It was called the cause by the Patriots. There were no major battles of the Revolutionary War in this area. The closest was a skirmish over in Ridgefield. And then, of course, the withdrawal of Washington's army from New York up to White Plains. But you understand that this was not a battleground. This particular area of Connecticut was not a battleground during the Revolution. Now, the residents here, particularly in town, though, following Washington leaving Boston after Gage abandoned Boston, mm-hmm. he marched the whole Continental Army right down what was called the Post Road then. Mm-hmm. So he would have marched the Continental Army right through Darien on the way to Brooklyn, New York, for the Battle of New York. So that would have been a huge event for the mm-hmm. for the settlers here in Darien to see Washington, the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army, coming through along with his entire entourage. Another interesting part of it is that you know, Long Island was completely controlled by the Redcoats, by the British.
Mm-hmm.
And after the British literally pilfered all of the farms in Long Island,
they
would get in boats and row across Long Island Sound, and they would come over here to Connecticut to pillage the farms, to get food supplies, and literally to steal whatever valuables they could.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those incidents occurred here at this particular house back in 1778. Mrs. Mather was home alone. Her husband was off fighting in the cause, mm-hmm. so he was not here. When a whole bunch of redcoats arrived and banged on the door, looking for the family silver and any other valuables. They found some, they didn't find some others, which were hidden, as the story goes. And then, as a further anecdote to the story, the captain of the British brigade said, "Well, we're not leaving until you cook us dinner." So reportedly or anecdotally, Mrs. Mather laid out a dinner for them, probably here in the keeping room, and they took whatever they could and marched back to their boat on Long Island Sound. That was a very common occurrence here. There's one other thing that I think that people forget.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone was on the side of the cause.
Yeah, that's for sure.
50% of the people here in this particular area were Tories. They were loyalists. So there was a lot of conflict between
mm-hmm.
between people who have literally settled this area together in the 1700s.
So how do you envision the Mather Homestead being a part of Darien in the future?
Well, I think that the homestead is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evolving as an educational center. It's evolving as a center to learn so much more about the great, and I like to use that appellation, the great Stephen Mather. This gentleman made an enormous contribution to America and the national park system. As a matter of fact, the national parks as we know them today may not exist had it not been for the commitment of Stephen Mather to doing the good work that he did. And I think that educational story will be part of the Mather House in the future. I also think it's important for young people to come to understand just how difficult life was out here on the frontier. And I know everybody thinks of the term frontier as somewhere west of St. Louis. Not so in 1778. Pretty tough going back here during that period of time and before. So I think there will be a great opportunity to educate young people
mm-hmm.
and anyone who is interested in the specific history of what life was like in this area back in the 1700s.
And so then lastly, what was it like for women and children in the home during colonial times?
Well, you know, women during the colonial period really ran the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the husband cleared the land. The husband and the boys probably built the barn, and they took care of the cattle and the sheep and the swine and the chickens. But the woman was the center of the universe, and I might add, right here in the keeping room. She, first of all, she gave birth to all of the children, and colonial families were very prolific. Why? Because they needed to populate the community, they needed to populate the country, and they needed the kids to run the farm. So,
100%.
Number one, she was giving birth to a lot of children and caring for children from infants through their teen years.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, she was the chief cook and bottle washer. She did it all. And in addition, she made the clothing.
Yeah.
In addition, she, as I said earlier, she cooked all of the meals. And you have to also keep in mind that there was a period of time when Deacon Mather, during the Revolution, said, "Okay, my dear, I'm off to join the militia, And I'm marching down to wherever, and I'll be back in 3 months after the fighting season is over. So here now were women all across colonial America that were literally left alone to run and manage the farm and the family business. So I think that it is, I think that it would be an understatement to say that women were the core of the family. They were the essential core of the family and its existence during colonial times.
So thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
I'm happy to do it.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Darien Heritage Trail Oral Histories, and we hope to see you at some of our historic sites in town.